Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.
I believe united we stand, and we have common ground to find, and we're going to find it. We're not going to be I'm Steve Walters.
I'm Patrick Marley.
And this is Rewind for with some special editions. Patrick Marley sitting in of the Patrick Marley, the Journal Sentinel, sitting in for the vacationing J.R. Ross. And I'm going to thank Transportation Secretary Craig Thompson for coming in for a part of the show. Craig, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I looked it up from the Fiscal Bureau. Your agency was operating with $2 billion almost exactly in the current in the last budget. Fiscal Bureau now says you're at you had $6 billion in the last budget, and now you're getting upped $642 billion about, 33%. How does your agency take that out in the forms of new contracts, new road construction? A huge jump, 33%. Patrick and I are going to take turns questioning that. Let's start with that.
Well, and the thing is, with that increased revenue, what we had proposed from the beginning, and largely with the priorities where we ended up in the end, was the part for Southeast didn't really go up, and the part for what is known as majors, which is big new projects, actually went down slightly. So where we really plowed that money into and where we what we wanted to do is fixing what we have. So the State Highway Rehabilitation Program, which is fixing the two-lane highways across the state, went up significantly, $320 million, and our aids to locals went up by $66 million, 10% increase for them. So those were really our 2 points of emphasis, and we're going to be able to get that out the door, and we're going to be able to start improving things.
Okay, just quick follow-up. Of that $642 million upper, how much will be spent on state projects, and how much will be spent on state and locals?
There'll be $66 million increase, which is ongoing sustainable revenue for the general transportation aids. There will be a $75 million one-time increase for a new grant program that we're gonna establish. So, you know, those are the two big areas. There's some other smaller areas for locals, for, you know, roads and transportation. On the state side, there's that $320 million increase for the majors, and then we had a little over $100 million in there of new revenue to complete the zoo interchange.
One of the big differences between Republicans in the legislature and you and the governor were how to get this new money. You wanted a gas tax increase of about a dime over 2 years. They did it through registration fees and mostly when you sell your car, those fees. What do you see as the status of the new ongoing revenue? Is it enough to sustain the state for a long period of time, or in 2 years when we do the next budget, are we going to have to talk about a revenue increase again, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's not enough to sustain, you know, what we need moving forward. Even what we initially proposed with the 8 cents with indexing, which would have gotten us to what you were saying, and the 27% increase in heavy truck fees, I think it was more sustainable ongoing revenue, and it would have helped get us further along. But what ultimately passed, and I do want to acknowledge it's the first time new ongoing revenue has been signed, so I'm not, you know, just because we didn't get a whole loaf, I don't want to disparage it. But we ended up about 390 of ongoing revenue. So we went from 608 down to about 390. But they added Highway 41 in Appleton, which and I recommend and the governor signed. So I'm not. It's a very worthy project. It goes from 6 lanes down to 4 lanes, to 6 lanes as people try to go to the Packer game. It's important, but that's going to be $1 billion plus project. So they reduced the ongoing revenue and added another $1 billion-plus project that's going to be in the pipeline. So, yes, we're going to have to come back again and look at this.
And when you do that, do you think your focus again will be on the gas tax because you get out-of-state drivers and it's, in your view, a better source of revenue? Or are you going to look to fees again or some other way of getting that money?
You know, we're going to continue to look at whether there could be, and whether we have a formal study or not, whether some forms of tolling, whether it's on some bridges or things, could help play a part. But under any scenario, I think the gas tax for the foreseeable future is still the fairest way to raise the money. It's in place. There's less than a 1% administrative cost of collecting it, and we get our out-of-state people that come in to golf in our golf courses and fish in our lakes and go to sporting events. They help they help pay for that. So we thought it was is the fairest way. I go around the state. I tend to think that's what most people I hear think it's the fairest way, too, because out-of-state people would help pay. So that, I think, will be part of the mix. But we're not walling off any options right now.
If your agency is going to continue to look at tolling, and are you also going to look at the mileage-based fee, the voluntary? My question is, why did the governor veto those two provisions if your agency is going to continue to consider those and score those?
Well, there was $2.5 million in there to conduct the study. There have been some studies done. So governor's office has been talking to us about, you know, if there's things we still want to look at, and we're still having those conversations. As it pertains to mileage-based fees, on a national level, I think this is absolutely a conversation we need to have for the long term, because we are going to get to the point that we have more of a critical mass of electric cars, of cars that even if they have gas, getting much better gas mileage, you know, of hybrids. But I think the best place to implement that would be nationwide and to replace the federal gas tax. It gets very hard to do it state by state. Portland has been the entity that's been piloting it for 8 years now. And I was just at a national conference with them, and they said, you know, they're not ready for prime time to go statewide yet. So I appreciate some people wanting to look longer term. We don't have enough of that. And for longer term nationwide, I think it's something that we need to look at. But in the near term, the gas tax still works perfectly well. Less than 3% of the vehicles on the road are electric or hybrid.
What's that percentage going to be 10 years from now, Craig?
You know, there's a lot of different modeling that will give you a lot of different results. And we don't know with connected and automated vehicles where we're going to be, how quickly that's going to roll out. And that's an area that I think we've sort of abdicated our responsibility in the last couple of years. We're beefing up and becoming more involved in those committees nationally. And, you know, some of that we have to, you know, it depends upon the modeling, but we do have to be ready for it.
Something else the governor did with a veto was create this new grant program to establish electric vehicle charging stations. Now, is DOT going to be involved in determining where those go, or is that all going to be out of the Department of Administration?
You know, I think they'll be consulting with us. Okay. I don't know that it will be our final decision, but yeah, and that was the Volkswagen settlement.
Yeah,
funds
you used the Volkswagen settlement, yeah. Which was an idea that the governor and some Republicans supported early on. Would your recommendation be that those be put in particular parts of the state? Should they go to Milwaukee or Madison or along the I-94 corridor up to Minneapolis? What's the...
You know, I don't have a recommendation right now. I want to listen to our folks and look at the data and see what it tells us, but I don't have a recommendation right now.
That budget included, as you've alluded to, $90 million for local grants. Why did the governor prune it back to $75 million with a veto? Why cut it back?
Again, I want to be clear about, you know, generally when we fund transportation, there is a separate transportation budget with basically two main revenue sources, the title fees that we pay and the registration fees that we pay and the gas tax we pay. Now we have the title fees are going to play a larger role. And, you know, back in 2016, there was a constitutional amendment passed that those funds that go into there have to be spent on transportation.
Lockbox.
So so it's a user fee-based system. What the legislature proposed and Governor Wythe vetoes ultimately signed in this budget was taking one-time money of general purpose revenue, which generally goes to fund universities and healthcare and locals and that, and giving it to the locals in a local road improvement program, $90 million. The governor vetoed out $15 million of that because it really was money that came from the general fund, and through other vetoes that he had, he was able to put more money into education. So they needed to find where to put that, and part of that came out of this. So it went from 90 to 75. But rather than putting it into the local road improvement program, he's put it outside of it that we could administer it in a way that I think we can get the money out quicker with less red tape and be able to make more of that 75, get closer to the 90 in terms of efficiencies.
And should that be truly a one-time appropriation and then we go through the normal formulas, or is that something the legislature should continue should do again, is throw another $70 million in general tax money at transportation?
You know, I, from my standpoint, we think a user fee-based system makes the most sense. It is now constitutionally protected. If we're going to come up with something that comes out of the general fund, from transportation standpoint, then it would have to be, to me, codified as something that's ongoing. You know, these one-offs, we're going to administer this, and we're going to the criteria is we're still setting on, but it will largely be based that you're able to demonstrate with the project that you're submitting that you're going to get economic benefit for these specific projects. But in terms of improving the condition of our roads and that, it is important that we have sustainable, known, ongoing revenue for contractors and engineers and towns and counties and villages to be able to make long-term decisions.
If your budget is, well, your budget's going up 33%, up to $642 million, are you going to hire more designers? Are you going to outsource those designs? How do you beef up at a scale reflecting a 33% increase in your budget, Craig?
You know, most of this, again, is the increases are going towards our rehabilitation program. So these are not a lot of big, new, complex projects.
Okay.
But our engineers are going to be busy. But as you know, we contract out. We do a lot of the oversight. We contract out for the actual design work. And so we will be, you know, continually looking at that. But I've met with our regions. They believe we can deliver this program, and we will.
That's an issue that you've paid a lot of attention to, in-house and out-house.
Yes.
Design.
Well, and another thing that the department has is, don't you have quite a bit of plans on the shelf? Isn't there a requirement from the legislature
Yes.
that you have things? One thing I wanted to ask you about is the I-94 East-West. This is between the Zoo and Marquette interchanges. At one point, the feds had approved it, and then they made clear that they weren't going to do the project because the state wasn't committing money. Governor Walker pulled it back. What do you want to see done with that project? Is it necessary? When should we again go seek federal aid for it?
So as you said, Patrick, and I know you followed this closely, we had gotten a record of decision from the federal government, which you have to go through a lot of processes over a lot Right. of years and spent a lot of over $20 million of engineering community input. And then we asked for the federal government to rescind that record of decision, which was I think almost unprecedented in the nation. So there was some money in this budget that we could look at beginning to do some engineering work again. We've had some preliminary conversations with Federal Highway Administration, whether we got to start at ground zero or whether we can mm-hmm. pick up at least part of the way from where we were. We're continuing to have those conversations. But again, yes, I think it's important. If you look at just from we have spent $1 billion on redoing the Marquette interchange, which won national awards and has reduced crashes by like 40%. We're spent $1.5 billion already on the Zoo, and we're going to finish that up here. But the part you're talking about lies in between in mm-hmm. front of Miller Park. And so forget the $20 million in engineering that we threw away. The $2.5 billion plus investment we've already made, we're not getting the benefit of the traffic flowing through until we do the part in the middle. So from the federal highway standpoint, it was their number one priority in the state, and it's something I think we need to get back.
The bottom line, then, there won't be any significant progress on the East-West in the next 2 years, Craig?
We just to get back to the position of getting a record of decision again will take at least over a year, I think, for sure.
Do you think you'll seek enumeration in the next state budget in 2021?
I don't want to get out in front of the governor on that. We'll have conversations with him and see where we're at.
Now let's talk about the Zoo Freeway. East-West, mm-hmm. finished. What about north-south?
The Zoo?
Yeah.
So the north leg of the Zoo by Mayfair was included in this budget. We've got some real estate acquisitions to do yet, but if we, from our timelines, we believe in 2022 we can be all done and have the complete Zoo interchange be finished.
Okay, and what about 9039, Illinois line to Madison?
Another major project that we believe mid-2022 we should be completely finished as well.
And what are you going to do about that interchange where 39 hits the Beltline in Madison? I know there was concern about that cost and then shrinking the footprint of it yep. to save money, but questions about whether there would be a bottleneck there.
So the Badger interchange, we are going to move forward on what was the smaller, less costly design. And I was skeptical of that at first, too, but our engineers have showed me that it will accommodate what we need for at least probably the next decade, but it doesn't preclude what is going to have to be the larger solution. The way we can do it, there will be basically no throwaway costs when we have to do the full turbine to get around.
So you'll be able to expand that without having to tear up what you're going to do now?
Correct.
Okay.
What does this mean for drivers? I mean, if they think they're seeing a lot of orange cones now, there's going to be double the number of construction zones and orange cones over the next year and a half?
You know, some areas the construction cones will be coming up, and in other areas
they'll be coming up where?
The Verona Road interchange here, which was another major one, we should be getting done within the next year, and that's going to be, I think, very nice for that's taken a long time, and that had gotten delayed because of budget things, so that'll be getting finished. And there's a lot of projects around the state as far as rehabilitation projects and others that.
But is there long-term good news for drivers because our majors are going to be rebuilt?
I think yes. After really 15 years of not having any new ongoing sustainable revenue coming in, we have some. It will cause some orange barrels in some area, but we're gonna finally start fixing the roads, and they're gonna get better.
But you have the same funding crisis basically in 2 years since it's not sustainable.
I don't know if it's the same funding crisis, but we don't have enough to finish. To do what we need to do, both from just maintaining and improving the conditions on our current roads plus the new projects.
How much more money do you need?
I don't have a number for you on that right now.
The I-94 in Racine County,
yep.
Foxconn, what's the timeline and how far along are those major improvements?
So, you know, that project came together, you know, very fast, and I think our folks have done an amazing job on that. The work zone down there has gotten a fair amount of attention. We had a very high-profile two-semi crash when there was fatalities.
Yes.
And so we pulled everybody together to look at that immediately, and some thought we should go back to two lanes because it could be wider because it is tight through there. But we have actually looked, and crashes are down almost in half, injury crashes, side crashes, by where we have it as three lanes. So what we have done is increased law enforcement. We've increased the markings, but people need to slow down through that section. But with that being said, by fall, late fall, we should be open four lanes each way. It should feel, it should feel like it's pretty close to being done, and by June of next year, it will be completely
Quick
done.
Follow-up. We've got about a minute and a half left, Patrick. Do you see driverless vehicles taking Foxconn workers back and forth?
I wouldn't rule it out at some point in time. I don't know that we're going to be there in the next couple of years, but it's something we want to keep open to. And whether it's there or other areas with CAV, we want to be looking at what the possibilities are.
Sure.
Let's talk about the Milwaukee streetcar for a minute. Republicans were talking about maybe doing a veto override because they're concerned about this one-time money that some of it could flow to the Milwaukee streetcar. Is that a possibility still?
No, I've talked with the city. They are not going to apply for the funds out of this project. And the governor wanted to provide even more clarity. He said that we just will not be providing any funding out of that pot of money for the Milwaukee streetcar.
Have you ridden the hop yet?
I have not yet.
Do you think it should be extended before the Democratic National Convention?
I'll leave that up to the city and the plans they have to have. We are involved at the department on some of the planning for the DNC, which is going to be a major undertaking. But something like that I'll leave up to the city.
Okay, now let's look into the next biennium. So you finished the north-south leg on the Zoo Freeway. Is the east-west, and now how to come up with $1 billion to expand 41, the next major set of long-term funding issues, Craig?
Those are going to be definitely on the table. The other thing that I'm proposing that we do is the Transportation Projects Commission, which is the body that's chaired by the governor and legislative members as well as some public members, hasn't even met since 2013. We will be meeting. I'm hoping it will be by the end of this year. And then I've talked with Senator Coles and others who I think they want to do some reform on this. I think we should be meeting twice a year, whether we have projects to move forward or not, or whether there's the funding or not. I think that communication is what, between the legislature and the DOT, is absolutely important so they can see where the cost of projects are, if they are changing. That's been a complaint in the past. And where our revenue is versus where the needs are.
You mentioned a couple of big projects, but what about I-43 north of Milwaukee? Isn't that just getting off the ground? Is 894 in Milwaukee going to have to be rebuilt at some point? Give us a picture of, in the next 5 years, what are the very large projects that might be coming on board?
So I-43 was enumerated in this budget, so that is another project.
But there's no real money for it yet.
Well, again, in the majors program, there were some that had been rolling off, so that opens up some. So, we believed when we initially proposed that budget and we were proposing to enumerate I-43 that the funding basically would be there for that. But other things have been added. We do need to look at east-west. So I think those are all the things that we're going to need to be bringing the Transportation Projects Commission and then ultimately the legislature.
Let's wrap it up this way, Craig. So a major step forward in the additional $600 million in new revenues, but there are long-term questions out there. But first of all, you're giving thanks for the new money, the new revenues, but there sounds like there's a but out there for the next biennial budget.
We've neglected this and made some poor financial decisions for 15 years. We weren't going to get out of it in two, even if we had gone all the way with the governor proposed and we got about halfway there. So we definitely have work to do yet.
Transportation Secretary Craig Thompson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Now let's go to Wissai Was There. The DNR Secretary is advocating a multi-state regional approach to chronic wasting disease. $10 million is urged for spinal cord injury research. Frightening testimony from the Polk County Sheriff. There's a call to let 65,000 residents with criminal convictions vote. And riveting testimony about a claim of widespread illegal dumping of farm manure. Wish I was there, please.
Discussion around what to do about CWD was far and wide, to individuals saying, don't spend another dime on chronic wasting disease, where others were saying, spend as much money as you can on chronic wasting disease. I have to do the requisite work as it relates to research so that those rule packages meet the standard of science and research. It would be out of bounds for me to move a package forward that's not based in science. That's not what this governor's expectation of the Department of Natural Resources.
Wisconsin will invest $10 million into a research program that provides grants for individuals wanting to do scientific research around finding a cure for spinal cord injuries, along with rehabilitative equipment for people living with spinal cord injuries.
The veterans that you talk to, whether they're hiring our heroes people or just on the ground people that are coming here, they would say people are impressed by that. Now, how do you move that impression of being impressed to taking a job in Wisconsin? Well, that's the work that when we get the 1,000 names, we need to be cultivating those names and making sure that we're following up with them and tying them to employers in the state.
The people that are around these drug residences are such dangerous people. And these kids that grow up in that environment are exposed to such dysfunction that oftentimes when we hit a place with a SWAT team, it doesn't even have a shocking effect on the children. They're so used to chaos that they don't have an adverse reaction to police and SWAT gear and rifles.
Right here in our own state, 65,000 Wisconsinites cannot vote because of a past conviction. Yet, these same people work, pay taxes, pay rent. They are impacted in the same manner and deserve the same voice. But in Wisconsin, those residents are treated like the walking dead.
I saw liquid manure tankers driving south out of Wisconsin Rapids. I and another county board supervisor followed them to two approximate 160-acre parcels. The tankers drove out of sight around a woodline and came back empty. Add to this liquid manure, add commercial fertilizer, legacy nitrogen and phosphorus, 100 manure spills a year, and a twofold increase in CAFOs since 2004. And is it any wonder we have contaminated rural wells?
Patrick, we've got about 10 minutes to cover three subjects. Okay. There's been a lot of talk about vetoes. After the budget acted, you and I, Wisconsin, I and you were there when Fitzgerald said we may want to look at the vetoes of drug testing and job training or on the job to get food benefits.
Yes.
But now, as we just discussed with Secretary Thompson, potential veto of the $75 million.
Right. So you said that you get an extra $15 million for local transportation projects and put in law provision that would make sure that money only went to roads, couldn't go to the streetcar, though the governor, as we just heard, has ruled that possibility out.
Do you think we're looking at some serious attempts to veto override? I mean, why?
Well, you know, there's lots of times that they take votes just to show where everybody is on an issue. You were there when Governor Doyle faced a lot of veto overrides on concealed weapons carry, on voter ID, and we all had a pretty good sense that those wouldn't get overridden. They didn't, but the votes were very close, made some Democrats very uncomfortable, you know, made some tough votes, including at least one who flipped, a couple who flipped between the original vote on a bill and the veto override.
Well, yeah, and that one veto on guns, I mean, now current Judge Sherman, that he was in the assembly.
He's just retiring.
Is he just retiring?
Yeah.
He was the reason that they didn't override that.
That was one time, and then I think didn't John Steinbrink change his position on it at one point?
I think
he might have.
We haven't had a veto override since Earl in 1985.
Yep.
The Republicans do not have the two-thirds in both houses, so are you comfortable saying there won't be any veto overrides, that these are just show-and-tell votes?
Since 2016, I stopped making predictions.
I understand.
But
very wise.
Count me extremely skeptical that they would succeed with any veto override. I just, it's hard to see it. They need two-thirds. They're shy of two-thirds. And to get more than one or two Dems, even that I think would be extremely difficult. I'm not seeing it at this moment.
And they do not plan, either house does not plan to come back until October? Is that still the schedule?
That's what it sounds like.
Okay. Now let's go to an interesting exchange between Senator Alberta Darling and John Erpenbach, members of the Joint Finance Committee. Senator Darling said, we can wait on $200,000 for mental health to help farmers deal with their mental health issues. Senator Erpenbach said, no, we have to act on it now. This is our way of getting into our joint finance discussion. Please.
The Speaker of the Assembly has a task force where they're working on mental health issues, so we want to make sure that we get their feedback. So we get a lot of criticism for being the Joint Finance Committee, and we step into everybody else's business. So the mental health and the homelessness are very important issues to us. We're saying we want to wait for those committees to make their recommendations and make the legislature a bigger part of this.
There are farmers out there that can't necessarily wait for what the Speaker is going to be doing on the task force. We're talking about $200,000 over the course of 2 years to do three specific things to try and alleviate immediate problems that farmers are facing right now. So, to me, we certainly can allow the task force and the legislature to do its due diligence and do its work and study the issue. But in the meantime, there's absolutely no reason in the world why we can't fund this $200,000 to help farmers out who are in a really tough situation right now, today.
What's your take on this dispute over when to spend the $200,000 for mental health help for farmers?
It's an interesting one where you've got, you know, both sides taking slaps at each other without any sign of actually getting this money out the door. You know, the DACAP secretary was very strong in saying, like, well, we've only got available money for five more vouchers. Who are these five people who are going to get it and who's not going to get it? And the Senate Majority Leader hit back very hard on that, saying, you know, that rhetoric was not helpful. And so I don't see how this resolves itself, because it's going to be some time before Joint Finance meets again.
But the money's going to be spent. So we're
eventually
waiting.
But we're going to have this gap in time before the money gets who need it.
Let's just highlight what Secretary Pfaff said. Our agricultural community needs this funding, and they need it now, not when it's convenient for legislative Republicans. And then, as you alluded to from Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald, your statements, Mr. Pfaff, about abandoning our state's farmers and which five farmers should be saved does nothing other than to create division on a subject that matters to all legislators. Excuse me, Patrick, but Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald has to schedule a confirmation vote for the Ag Secretary, doesn't he?
And all the other secretaries, that's
which
right.
Which have not been confirmed.
That's right.
Okay, now let's talk about what Joint Finance did agree on. You unanimously agreed on the first major land purchase since the extension of the stewardship program, $4.3 million to buy and preserve 14,352 acres of Iron County recreation land. They didn't take any action on $500,000 for job skills for homeless. This was the first Joint Finance meeting since action on the budget. You see anything that concerns you long term?
Well, I mean, I think it's the new dynamic, right? For years we had Governor Walker, Republican lawmakers, and largely deferential. I mean, sometimes showing some resistance to some of his plans or questioning his plans. But, you know, they were mostly in line with what he wanted to do. Now you've got a Democratic governor, and there's a lot more scrutiny. Things are moving a lot more slowly. There are a lot more questions, a lot more demands for information.
Okay. We got about a minute and a half. Representative Dave Murphy's bill would tie future UW resident undergrad tuition to inflation when and if the eight-year freeze is lifted.
Yep.
Are you detecting a growing support to end the freeze?
Well, it's interesting, because this was an idea of Governor Walker's. It started out, it was something Republicans were on board with, Democrats didn't like. Tony Evers surprised people, I think, in the run for governor and saying that he wanted to continue the freeze. Now, he wanted more state tax money to sort of cover the inflationary increases. So now there's this bipartisan element to it, but growing concern among Republicans about the long-term sustainability. I mean, inflation is a real thing, and you have to account for it. And so either that means the universities just have to eat it and do less, or they need to get some more tuition money, or they need to get more tax money. This is Murphy's solution. Keep any increases to inflation.
Yeah, I looked it up from the Fiscal Bureau. Tuition, including resident and non-resident, makes up 24% of the UW system budget. So that's a big item for them. It really
sure.
is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think Murphy wants to move this bill in the fall session?
I would guess so. I mean, I think the question is the full Assembly on board with it? And more importantly, is the Senate going to be on board with it? And then really everything comes down to the next budget anyway, right? Even if they put this into law, Well, they could just change the rules when they write the next budget.
Okay, I think we're out of time. I'm Steve Walters.
I'm Patrick Barley.
And that's Rewind. I'm going to thank Patrick for filling in for JR. That's Rewind for this week.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.